movement on 147.375, so to speak. I think you made your last transmission on 146.85. KC2WGB, KQLIW.
How's that, Dick? Any better?
Huge improvement. Now we can hear you. I heard you on the input before, but you didn't come through the machine. Over to you, John, KQLIW.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to thank everybody for their participation. Great night, and maybe that chat room will pick up. We'll be getting a few questions from there also. So, have a good time, and be safe, and I hope you get to go to that thing someday. It sounds interesting. Please do that, you cheap. Good evening, Wes. What are you going to be doing tomorrow, Wes? Yes, I can hear you. I'm coming through the 375 machine. Well, I'm hoping that this week that package is going to show up from China. I'd like to see that. Plus, I'm still working on a few experiments. I got some items to collect to do some testing. I'm looking for a couple of slugs for my birds. As soon as I get those, I can receive some testing, some testing. But that's about it. Well, I think I understood what you were saying, but you also have to remember, I agree that when certain things happen, you emit the photon. You're saying that they're mostly X-rays. I don't agree that they're X-rays because the energy level has to be above a certain point to be considered X-rays. That's all I was going to say, but we need to get into that part.
It is practically...
Killing off the electrons on the ego or the cathode area is nothing because you need an accelerating potential to draw to the anode, okay? And you also need the focusing elements to have it pass through the aperture so that it can pinch on the phosphor. So yeah, you know, in a CRT, that's the way that works. And a lot of people thought that it was bad for your eyes to sit close to the television when people would be on. You were supposed to sit back. You shouldn't be so close to the TV. They didn't know anything about radiation, though. When color TV came out, that's when they started worrying about radiation. Was the accelerating potentials were getting near 27,000, 30,000 volts. Very dangerous. And over a long period of time, you could be absorbing. Well, they're not hard X-rays, but I think they're enough to cause a problem. Okay, KC2WGB. Well, you're talking about an incandescent light bulb, all right? When you fire that up and it gets bright, there are emissions of photons, but they are nowhere near as energetic as required to be considered X-rays. Now, if you want to put an accelerator in there and draw what's coming off of it, accelerate it to whatever potential you need, you may be able to see an X-ray. But out of an incandescent bulb, nothing. Okay, well, you said it. Now you take a lamp, an incandescent lamp, you heat it up, and you put an accelerating potential on it. Then you can make those reach the level energy of X-rays. The basis element for the X-ray is there, but it's not considered an X-ray until it's traveling at that potential. That's my belief in it. Well, I look at it differently. I have a lot of problems with what you're saying because unless you have the accelerating potential required to turn them into X-rays, you're generating something, but they're not X-rays until they're traveling as X-rays travel. So, well, you know, you're reading what you read, and, I just have my thin knowledge. Yeah, I agree. The more variable and different sources you get information from, you might be able to resolve a closer to the accurate facts. That's true. But there's a lot of rubbish out there, too, that doesn't pay to read. But, you know, the scientific papers from certified people, it pays to read them. Whether they're correct or not, you know, you really don't know. But, you know, you'll find out from your experiment. But I'll tell you that when you have high voltages and an arc or something like that, yes, you can generate some X-rays. And they will expose film. I have put films of all different speeds on fluorescent bulbs, no X-rays. If there was anything, even a small amount, it would affect the film. So until I see something like that, I'm not going to believe they're coming out of those fluorescent tubes. And I'm sure not going to believe they're coming out of incandescent lights at 100 volts now. Well, there are photons there, probably at the 60 hertz value also. And when you heat a metal, it emits a lot of spectrum. But you're saying that it's emitting a spectrum that it can't reach because of the accelerating potential required. You know, that's how I see it. So I don't think the incandescent bulb stands. I don't think that's viable. Okay, well, when I turn on my flashlight, I'm pretty sure there's no X-rays coming out of that. And, you know, that's an incandescent lamp. And I understand what you're saying, but I'm just telling you that at low potentials, I don't think you have a chance of measuring any X-rays. You're talking about radioactive material, that's energetic. Yeah, it's possible. But that's not what we were talking about. But isn't an X-ray a very short wavelength? Okay. Where do you get that in a 60-watt, 100-volt bulb? Where do you get that short spectrum? Potential you need to start to get near the X-ray spectrum. But 30,000 volts and above, yeah, definitely will create X-rays. Now, maybe you can create them at 5,000. I'm not sure. But you say you measured them. Okay. So you measured them. But now you talk about an automobile headlight or any light with two elements in it. All right. We turn on one of the filaments. The amount of energy you're putting into that filament, okay, you have some things moving around there. Got some space charge around it. That other thing is neutral. Even though it's connected, it's not at a potential that's going to cause the acceleration necessary to produce X-rays. And to have the X-ray or the electrons bounce off of the tungsten and produce X-rays, whatever you're saying, you need that potential. You need the wattage to do it. And I don't see any other way of doing it. So, are there minuscule amounts floating around? I don't think we have a way of measuring that, but I know that should show up on film, but it doesn't, not to me. So I don't know how you're going to measure that. I don't think it's possible. About it. Everybody my age has heard about it. They were in every shoe store.
Yeah.
And, you know, you happen to mention film and the variable sensitivity slope, the speed of the film. Okay, you take all types of films. They're very similar to how a bucket works with a drop of water. You get enough drops, eventually you're going to fill the bucket. The film collects the data that's coming from the element. So if you leave it on 3 or 4 days, if there are X-rays, even a small amount, that film is going to be exposed, and you will be able to see that cloudiness or those stripes on the film. So I find that film is a very good thing to reveal X-rays present out of any object. Yeah, those foot machines, maybe they were different for you, or maybe you never saw them, but yeah, they were in every shoe store here. Those rotten X-ray machines.
And in those machines, the exposure...
Okay, well, I don't want to get into the clandestine, what people say or what... I just want to stick to the science facts. And, you know, you just have a different opinion. Okay, so you think that Con Edison with their generator is generating electricity, that they're producing X-rays at that point. And I have never heard about anybody measuring this. You know, unless there's arc overs or something like that, I don't think that's happening. But, you know, as you keep reading, you'll find out. Maybe you can get a coherent statement about how that happens.
Good night.
The time is...
I guess we lost the eastern link or something from not dropping it long enough.
Ready.
I was confused with, because there is no beep, and the Eastern League is naturally received by me very, very strongly. You right now 10 times stronger than you were.
Radio Newsline report number 1874 with a release date of July 12, 2013 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio continues its relief efforts in India during monsoon season. Hams in Canada and Portugal may soon have added operating spectrum. The ARRL says no to encrypted communications on the ham bands. The FITSAT-1 ham radio satellite deorbits. And the story of some strange radio signals from space. Find out details on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1874, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jeff...
on the New England Reflector.
Link clear.
I delaw to connect off. I delaw to connect off. I delaw to connect 10 enabled. Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link active.
Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link active.
WHJCJ listening.
Net tonight at 8:30. This is
the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
And 2 PPN and 2 Alpha Sierra Sierra.
And 2 ASS and 2 PPN. Sup, Greg?
You sound like a tired lamb this morning.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Good weekend. Graduation party Saturday afternoon, evening. Went out on the boat yesterday. It was a good, good weekend.
Yeah, I definitely got burnt from going on the boat yesterday. I definitely feel it. I didn't think the sun was as strong as it was.
Oh, yeah. It's mighty strong, mighty strong. And on the water, it's even stronger. So does that mean your trailer's all fixed? Everything's good?
No, it's still sitting on my cousin's trailer. I just haven't had time to get to it. So hopefully this week I'll get to it. But, you know, I'll tell you, I gotta put the three blade props on that boat. I found a prop in there, a 14 by 19. I found a 14 by 19 right prop. And, so I'm assuming that's probably what should be on there, because I found that one under the seat. So I don't know why there's these four blade props. So I'll try it and see what happens. I have trouble planing off, and the trim tab's all working. Everything's working great. Just have a lot of trouble planing off.
Interesting, interesting. And this boat was completely set up and everything before you got it?
Well, you know, now that I think about it, I never actually saw the props on the boat. And when I bought the boat, I took it out, and that thing leaped out of the water. I was in shock how fast that thing planed off. I was like, wow, this is mint. That was on the Hudson way upstate. So I brought it back into the spot the next week. You know, we had plans of driving it home or whatever it was a few weeks later. So we went there and started it up, and I'm letting it idle. All of a sudden, the temperature gauges climb up. They had the skegs down in the mud. So, you know, the props got beat up down there. So I couldn't take it home, so I told the marina, you know, change the props and the water pumps. I let them do it right there because I still had the intent of driving it home. And he changed them, and I'll bet he just stuck on whatever he had there, now that I think about it.
Gee, and you didn't ask him to give you the props that he took off of the boat?
Well, that's the one 14 by 19 that I found inside the boat. I found a prop under the seat. I didn't ask him to hand me the props, you know, but I did find one under the seat. And that might have been, like, the original prop from the boat.
So you don't know what was on it when you took it for its test ride?
No. That's a shame, but nope. But, you know, and it's hard to tell. You know, I go online and I look at these things, and the funny thing is you would think, okay, 14 by 19 right hand, 14 by 19 left hand. But it doesn't seem to be that way. Sometimes one gets taller, sometimes there's a little more pitch to the other one. And I found that pretty interesting. I mean, I would just assume that they should both be identical. So I'm going to call up Regal Marine today and talk directly to their representative and tell them, what did you send this boat out from the factory with? And that's what I want on there, because they're paid to design it properly. I don't need to rethink it or try to get a little more top end or anything else. I just want it to be the way it's supposed to be.
That's all. Just ask them what they originally set it up for, and ask them what the RPM should be, and what the top speed should be with their original setup, and how much additional weight was on the boat when they performed all their calculations.
That's true, too. They should, I guess when they do this on it, they probably think about it and say, okay, we're going to put four people on it. You know, I guess they average it out like that. I don't know. It's a good thought. Good question. But I'll tell you, I had trouble. I mean, one of my props is a little bit chewed up, but it should make, I should not be able to plane off. I mean, I had a friend that actually lost a whole blade on a three-blade prop, and he was able to plane off and get home.
Ah, that must have destroyed the bearings in the lower case.
Oh, yeah, with all that vibrating, it had to. Had to. But I'll tell you, the boat's running top-notch. I bought the alternator on eBay, that one that was over-voltaging. It was perfect. It's putting out great. That thing is working good. And everything worked. The trim tabs worked. The motor's going up and down. Eventually, I'm going to have to change one of the trim pistons because, remember, I had a little trouble making one of the outdrives go down. I used to have to put it in gear to make it go down. And when we did it, you know, on dry dock, it was making a woo, like a bad noise. And what did he put on there? Fogging oil. He sprayed it on those pistons. Once he did that, it went right up and down. But if it gets to that point, I'm thinking that that is probably getting close to getting replaced.
The shafts of the pistons were clean and not pitted or corroded, and the seals are good. That sounds more like a pump issue.
No, there was a little bit of debris on one of the pistons. No, the pump's working great, but the noise it made was from that piston. It made like the piston as it pulled in, it went, it was a noise like that. He said, oh man, it's binding up, and he sprayed that on there, and we went up and down like four times, it worked perfect after that, but you could see that piston, not the seal itself, but around the seal, that round ring, has some pitting on it too. So that's a sign that you're not going to rebuild that piston when it comes time.
You might get a new cap for that piston. Whatever, sounds like you got it all squared away now.
Yeah, it was nice. So where did you cruise to? We just went over to Great Gun, out by me, you know, near the barrier, you know, people camp and stuff out there. We went over to that island and hung out.
We're cruising around the back bays up by State Boat Channel between the Wanto and the Meadowbrook. Wound up going back up into the west end of Merrick Bay and hung out up there. Nice and quiet. No traffic coming through there. And just a nice quiet place to sit and float and drink beers and get a suntan.
Yeah, we noticed a huge amount of people fishing. Huge. Like more than I ever saw before. And we had to work our way through all the fishing boats. It was not big boats, the little boats. And there were a couple of big ones. But I noticed that the water was very clear. Did you notice that by you? Did the water seem cleaner than it's been over the past few years?
The water is cleaner because of the breach.
I wonder what that's going to do to some of the marine life over there, because the water was, I mean, where I was driving, I mean, 5 feet deep, you saw the bottom clear, like almost as if you were in the Bahamas or something. Clear, and I was like, wow, look at that. I never really experienced it like that unless I went past the bridges. Then I would notice only sometimes that it was clear like that. This was really clear.
Yeah, now with more water coming in and going out and better circulation, marine life is going to flourish.
Yeah, I was always under the impression, someone told me a long time ago that, I think they called it brackish, I forgot the term of the bay, brackish water, and only certain marine life like to live in brackish water, so I was thinking it might hurt some of the Maybe it'll make it better. I don't know. I heard it might, you know, something about the brackish water. That's all I remember.
Brackish has less salt content in it. And you'll find, oh God, that guy lost the whole wheel. You'll find that up at the heads of the canals and stuff like that. You're not going to find that necessarily in the bay.
Okay, it was just something that someone told me a long time ago. I remember a lot of stupid little things. Yeah, so after we went on the boat, we went out, we came back, I washed it all down, then we took out the Viper, and I took her out to eat, and then we came back. I'll tell you though, she's, having a woman with you in a car like that is really not a lot of fun. Anyone comes next to you, you're certainly not racing them or anything like that. She keeps me in check. I guess in a way it's good. But in a way, I can't, like, play.
I guess you can't play. You know, you're out there speeding around on the water, then you come back, you're speeding around on land. You're just a speed demon. That's a PPN mobile.
We weren't quite speeding around on the water. We were kind of putting around because it was so ridiculous to try to plane off. I mean, it was that bad. It was that bad. Trying to plane off was just a nightmare. So, you know, I said, forget it. I'm just beating up the boat. So we just drove slow.
And the engines were all trimmed down and stuff, and you still couldn't get the nose to come down, huh?
Even with the trim tabs all the way down. In fact, I when we pulled up to where we had to go and I jumped in the water, the first thing I looked was to make sure my trim tabs were both pointing down to bring the nose down, and they were pointing down, both of them. So I said, ah, this is ridiculous. So, now, I'll change the props out. They could use the changing anyway.
And that'll probably help. So you're looking forward to working through this heat wave?
I am going to be, it's ridiculous, I'm going to be in a school cutting the floor, which I think is, you know, a couple hundred feet inside of a school somewhere with a gas saw, with a diesel saw. So, you know, I have to make sure that, you know, doors are open. There's no, I heard it's an open place. But when the guy said, I got to chop the floor with your chop gun, and I'm worried about the air that's coming out of the compressor going through the chop gun is going to contaminate the air. I said, you're concerned over that, but you're not asking me any questions on the saw, that 65 horsepower thing that I'm going to be in a building with cutting the floor. You're not thinking about what fumes are going to come out of that, you know? So, but if I go there and it's too enclosed, I'm not going to be cutting the floor.
I'm getting an electric target saw.
If they make a hydraulic saw, which we don't actually have, but they do make one that they could get into the building with, but I got to look at what's going on in there. So I'll know today, somewhere in Wynash.
Yeah, there you go. Get a hydraulic one, run it off the PTO in the truck outside. Just run the hydraulic lines in.
So they might have to do that. When I go there, I got to see what they got. I'm sure they got those big 4-foot round fans and stuff like that. But, I mean, this building better be, you know, fairly open. You know, I'm not going to deal with one door. You know what I mean? So, we'll see. Trying to play it safe. Steve Areno should be popping in here any moment.
I got some idiot in this Honda SUV. It's like half over the line, and he just keeps like driving like that.
He might have had a good weekend too. I've seen that several times. I don't know what causes that. He might be either tired or drinking.
Maybe he's talking on the cell phone or something. Who knows? So, Kramer, how'd you get the boat to the water? Did you fix your trailer?
You know, I used my cousin's trailer. I used my cousin's trailer and went out. I'll tell you, you know, this trail, I was always against bunk trailers. You know, I always thought it would be very difficult to, you know, get the boat on and off it. But to tell you the truth, this trailer, it lined right up, and the boat just seems to go on straight, you know, and it wasn't so bad. I guess if you have enough water, it's not so bad to have a bunk trailer. If you have very little water, I think you'd have a real rough time with it. But it worked good. I actually liked it. And I think for storage, a bunk trailer is better too. More surface area on the boat.
Seeing that I have absolutely no idea what a bunk trailer is, I'll let Richie comment and choose any be here. Up, Gary, and 2PPN Mobile. Bunk trailer is a boat trailer that has long boards that the boat sits on as opposed to rollers. I'm sure you've seen boat trailers in your day, and you've seen the ones with the rollers on them holding the boat up, and then there's the ones with the long carpet-covered planks. That's a bunk trailer. The other ones are a roller trailer. I guess if you've got enough water to float the boat onto the trailer, then yeah. If the ramp is right and everything is good, then you have no problem with the bunk trailer. But if you got a steep ramp or you can't get the trailer low enough in the water or far enough in the water, then you'll struggle getting it on. Oh, this is cute. A yellow Hummer H2 with yellow, like, 24-inch wheels with, like, the tires that have no sidewall. It looks like a toy.
You should have hooked up your Corolla DX like that. Matching rims. Hey, you didn't retire that car, did you? I love that car.
Still got it. Oh, I got to get it in for inspection before the end of this month. As a matter of fact, I got to get both of these cars in for inspection. So, Richie, the last time that I checked, you had the Jeep, you had the wife's car, and originally you had the toilet odor. Now you've got the black car. You got four cars, or did you get rid of one? Still got the four, the Toxic Avenger, the Toilet Odor, the Hyundai, and the Jeep.
He's living the life. Four cars, two
drivers. Which one do you let the kid
and a motorcycle. And a boat.
All right, Kramer, forgot. Reminded me. Motorcycle and a boat. On a mansion and a yacht. My name is Elmer J. Fudd. What were you saying? Which one do I let the kids? What? My daughter's still not driving yet. And my son hasn't bothered asking me for the keys for anything. And if he asks you for the keys, which one are you going to give him? Well, if he doesn't ask me for the keys the night before, he'll be getting the toilet odor.
I will be
sitting in front of the house.
So this will only take a moment.
If he does ask me for the keys, he could take the Avenger. I just got to take my work stuff out of it, like my work boots. Kramer, you got totally covered. Why don't you go now?
Oh, all I was saying was I got to go to, I'm just running into the shop to drop off my old cell phone. And every time I stop in there, Richie always says, he won't be back. Sometimes that is true if they grab my ear or they have me do something different, but that's not going to happen today because I have a set schedule. So I'll be right back on the road in probably 50 seconds.
So, Richie, I got a little bit of a late start, so you're probably considerably ahead of me. I'm on summertime schedule where I'm taking my time in the morning. I'm up to Give Me Shelter Rock Road. Where are you? Just passing 168th Street. Parsons Boulevard, about to go into the trench. So far, nothing major to report. There is... Oh, you already passed that guy already. The guy on the side of the road over there by where the Meadowbrook spills in with missing wheel. but so far so good, except for this idiot in the Honda behind me who's not staying in his lane. Everything else has been decent ride in this morning so far. And keep in the trench. Yeah, I saw that guy missing, I think it was the left rear wheel. You know, when a wheel's going to fall off, I would assume, because I've never had it happen, that you get an awful wicked vibration as a warning first. Depends upon what causes it to fall off. There have been times that the wheel just goes bang and comes right off. Yeah, but he still had the brake drum and all that stuff there, so chances of all five bolts failing simultaneously and snapping are small. So I would assume that the lug nuts weren't tightened and have been slowly backing off. Yeah, you'll definitely get a vibration if you've got the loose lug nuts. But, interestingly enough, one of the guys at work, this guy Dennis, had the wheel on his Jeep Wrangler come off. He had had Mavis Tire or somebody do some work for him in his neighborhood. Wow, that was close. Everybody was trying real hard not to hit each other. And something or another happened, and he's driving in on the Northern State Parkway from Kings Park, and bang, all five lug nuts, or all five studs broke. Can you say over-torquing? That's probably what did it. Although I had a car where I came very close to losing the right front wheel. I'm driving it to the service station. This is years ago. And I make a left turn, and I hear, because my wife's complaining of vibration in that front corner, front right corner. I make a left turn, and I hear, bang. Now, vibration is worse. And I'm crawling to the station. Good thing I crawled, because by the time I got to the station, the only thing that was holding that right front wheel on was the drum brakes. Cool. The wheel bearing totally disintegrated. I scored up the spindle. Obviously, the wheel itself was in trouble. I totally ruined the brake pads. And when I got to the service station and stopped the car, there was smoke coming out of that right front wheel well. Lovely. That car was never driven again because it was going to be more expensive to repair that wheel than the car was worth. Your wife got a new car out of that deal. Yep, she did. Hope this isn't the finished product here on this repave job. Oh my God, this is horrid. You're on the northern facing area where they had it scored up last week. MS back. Yeah, the scarifying job over here on the Grand Central from the Kew Gardens interchange north to just before the expressway. They have one section that they paved, and it's horrid. It's absolutely horrid. Why did they even bother painting the lines back on it? They better not be leaving it like that, because I'll tell you, it's a shame if they're going to pass that off as completed work.
Take a look at the drains on the side of the road and see if they're sticking up like an inch. They probably still have to do a skim coat or something.
Now, all the sewer covers are still up, but they're not up by much. And there's lots of sections that are still, like, you can still see the scarifying. I'm telling you, it's horrid.
Yeah, no, that's probably, I'm sure that's not the finished product, especially if the sewer covers are up. I've noticed that. They only leave them up like a half an inch. And I'm saying, wow, such a thin coat, you'd think it would peel up, but I've noticed that a lot. So that might be what they're doing. But I would think on a road like that, it would be more than an inch, you know, of skim coat or whatever they call that last layer, F1 type F top coat.
I don't know what it is. All I know is that, why did they bother to paint the lines on the road?
Maybe
they're probably
issue.
Planning to do the rough coat that you drove on the full length and then come back and do the skim coat for everything, and as a result they didn't want accidents with people not knowing where the lanes were. But those are probably just small dots and not the permanent lane markers. You'll see it when you get over here.
Yeah, well, if there was a turn or a curve, if it happened to be a curvy section, they definitely would have put a paint line on there. And it would have been solid, too. It would have looked, you would notice the difference between a temporary line and a real one. It won't be reflective and stuff like that.
I know the difference between painted lines, adhesive stick-on lines. You know, I know all that stuff, all right? They painted the lines, and it's in a straight section of the road, and it's an abomination.
Out by me, they grooved the road out by from 66 to like 70 on the LIA. And like that, it's a little curvy over there, and they grooved the road for water runoff and more traction. And they put the grooves in on such an angle that when you hit it, even if your car was aligned properly, you went back and forth. And the first time I went over, I said, oh my God, this is terrible. I can't stay like this. I went and had my car checked for alignment. It was that bad. And they ended up having to re-groove the road.
It's because they found out that for rain runoff, it's better for them to put grooves at a right angle across the lane than it is in the direction of travel.
I was in the direction of travel. You're right, that would be better. It wouldn't affect your drivability.
Except it takes longer and it's harder to do. You hear a lot of chatter as you're driving over it. Roofs aren't that
you
that
guys
deep,
Garrett.
You barely even notice them. But the problem is it takes a great amount of time to do that. And
that
they don't want to waste time. They want to do something fast where they can just drive in the lane, and if the guy sneezes while he's holding on to the steering wheel, you get a wiggle in the grooves.
Mister, I was asking before. I'm wondering if you guys ever drove over those most strips that play the song.
Yes.
You have? How was it? Did it work well? I've never done that.
They did that, I believe, on North Jerusalem Road over near me. I still can't figure out what the song is.
Oh, you're going to have to tell me where that is so I can drive over. Maybe you're going... Yes. You got the wrong tempo.
Maybe it's like the song that my washing machine plays when it's done with the laundry. I still can't figure out what that song is. Hey, Richie, was there something wrong that backed things up in the trench when you came through? Because I'm almost at a standstill. No, I went through the trench with no brake check at all. Was that idiot in the Honda, the blue Honda SUV? I'm road work, okay? Hey, Gary, I stepped on you. I said they're probably setting up for work because they got the signs road work ahead. signs were there. Something's happening. The only lane that's really moving is the one for the J. Robinson. Well, when I was speechless there for a second, we had a bit of a brake check, a hard brake check, like everybody was scrambling not to hit each other going down the ramp. It's possible that maybe somebody did do a little bouncy bounce a little further behind me. Well, we'll find out in a little bit. We're moving, but it's moving slow. I'm a quarter mile from the interchange. It's possible that that's what happened. Maybe the guy in the blue Honda. The blue Honda, it's like a grayish-blue Honda SUV. Maybe he was finally his sleepiness or whatever it was that was causing him to drift out of his lane all the time caught up to him and he slammed into the guy in front of him. Let you know when I get there. Alright, we got a disabled motor vehicle right where the Gaga comes in, but it doesn't seem to be affecting much of anything. I took the Gaga anyway. If I stick to the main road and go all the way to the left, will it be a problem? Probably not. I took the Gaga and it looks like everything moved through here about the same speed. It's a PPN Mobile, as some people call me Maurice. Okay, up ahead I see lots of flashing yellow lights right by the construction yard. Boys, they're moving a piece of equipment in or out, and that's what stopped you guys.
Hey, Rich. What did they,
everyone's in there,
what did they end up moving that to? I'm just wondering what happened. I know the B1's not there anymore. What did they end up doing with that?
I got a feeling something's happening where the, on that pavement that you were talking about. Everybody's slowing down to run over the rough road. And what'd you say, Kramer? Where did they move what to?
Where did they move your B-fund to? I'm just wondering whatever happened with the B-funds that you guys used to have.
I have a B-fund. I drained that a long time ago.
No, but they did away with it. So I'm figuring they moved it into something else, like a 401k or something.
The contributions that originally were being deposited into that fund got moved around into other funds.
Okay, I just think you would know exactly what was what. I was always wondering what happened with that. Actually, I should go drain mine out.
New status, Gary, and to PPN. Well, there's police activity on the other side of the road. Maybe people slowed down extra slow. I'm on the scarified portion now. We're moving a lot better. I think it was just slowed down because of the roadway. People get all crazy when they run up on some rough road. Haven't gotten to the area where they have any new top down yet, though. Just cut onto it, and you got about 2 inches of pavement that still have to be deposited down. Look at the cut on the side of the road when you come through here the next time. I understand that, but why did they bother to paint the lines on a straight section of road? They had the paint. That's definitely not a finished product, though. Richie, watermelon number one of the season was well received this past weekend. Watermelon number two comes up in about a week and a half. Really? And how were these watermelons prepared? Marinated 3 days inside the refrigerator with your favorite vodka. Which one did you use? had some Absolute in the house. I think I have enough for the next one also. It only takes about a third of a bottle.
I should try using something like a Pinnacle fruit flavored vodka, like the Pinnacle pineapple or something.
That would start mixing fruit flavors, and I don't know how it would come out. You know, a pineapple-flavored watermelon?
You can make watermelon-flavored vodka, too, you know. You could just get some Pinnacle watermelon-flavored vodka.
Why? You put the plain vodka in the watermelon, and the runoff becomes homemade watermelon vodka, which I usually present to the hostess, and they usually love it.
You could try it, Gary. It's all I could say is you could try it.
I use whatever vodka I have in the house. I had an open bottle of Absolute. I use that one. I'll probably finish that bottle up on the next watermelon that I prepare next week. And when I get finished with that, I got a bottle of Skull.
You have a bottle of Crystal Skull, and you're going to put that in a watermelon?
Yeah, I don't drink vodka.
You could gift me that bottle of Crystal Skull, and I'll buy you a bottle of vodka that you could put in that that watermelon. Crystal Skull vodka is not for being put into watermelons, and if you do wind up using it, save me the bottle.
You got to do what Richie says on this one. He knows his alcohol.
Crystal Skull, is that good?
It's not cheap vodka. You don't put expensive vodka in a watermelon.
I'll keep it in mind. I think I have enough Absolute in the house to finish off the next watermelon, though.
That's the way to do it. It's definitely not a mix of vodka like that.
But yes, I do have a bottle of Crystal Skull in the Skull and all.
That means salivating.
How much is a bottle of that stuff?
Anywhere between $75 to $120 bucks.
I just for the skull.
Yeah, I just want the skull. You can keep the vodka, pour it into something else, but don't pour it into a pineapple. Serve it. Serve it, enjoy it, let people who enjoy vodka drink it, and just save me the bottle.
Remarkable.
Are your friends, Kramer?
It sounds like it. Sounds like it. You know, what do you call it? Ever since you turned me on to that Pinnacle stuff, I'll tell you, when I make my mixer, I use something called, something Oasis. And man, those drinks, I mix a little of that, the Pinnacle in there when I make the pina coladas and stuff. Oh my God, it is so good. And that Pinnacle is dangerous stuff.
What are you putting vodka into a pina colada for? That's got a rum base.
I know, believe it or not, I mix the two. I put the I usually use coconut rum, and then I use a little bit of this Pinnacle vodka, just a little bit. And it just adds kind of like, I can't even explain it. A twang would be the only way to explain it. It adds a twang to it. And when you drink that stuff, if you drink it straight, it's so dangerous because you don't even know you're drinking. So people who tell you they don't drink are going to drink this thing up, and they get annihilated very quickly.
See, my other marinated fruit that I've been known to do is pineapple marinated in Malibu rum.
There you go, that sounds fun.
That does sound fun, and it'll make for a smooth movement.
It will also put you into a diabetic coma.
that pieces of pineapple. It's like eating a piña colada.
I'm not trying that. What do you do? Just pour it in a bowl and then just let them float in it?
Well, if you want to do it fancy, you take the pineapple, you cut the top off, and you put a scalloped edge on it to make it look good, but you remove the pineapple meat itself with a, it's like a corer. It pulls all the pineapple meat out in one long spiral and leaves the core in the inside of the pineapple. You can pick it up someplace like Bed Bath & Beyond, the kitchen gadget. Then you slice it up into chunks, put it back into the shell, and then fill with the pineapple, with the Malibu rum. The trick is it takes 2 to 3 days to marinate. Otherwise, it's worthless.
I'm definitely going to try this. You're the coolest dentist I know.
Guess my pineapple infused tequila doesn't hold a candle to that.
I happen to love tequila, but the general party is going to go for the pineapple and the coconut rum more, I think.
Yeah, all right. You'll have to swing by my place one day before this party and taste my pineapple-infused tequila, and then you'll tell me who what they're going to go for. The truck can't rush. Doesn't pay to throw the pineapple in the morning of the party. For example, the watermelon, I started Wednesday night to be on Saturday afternoon. My tequila, you start up 2 weeks before the party.
Listen, I got the best idea of all. Why don't when I have an end of supper party, you guys each make your own little concoction and bring it to the party, and then we'll have a vote off.
Surprise.
Oh, yeah, I always have giveaways. I'll have to, probably a pocket watch. That would be worth a pocket watch.
Oh, it's going to be lots of fun from now on. The reflection off of the tower is murder at this hour in the morning. Oh, you finally got to see the glare. Holy smoke. I almost got blinded when I came around that curve. Yeah, it's in a different part of the tower now. It's interesting because, you know, the sun angle changed and everything. Weeks ago, it was hitting lower on the tower. I was taking pictures and whatnot. Now it's hitting higher up on the tower. It's definitely, I think they planned it that way. They want people to see this beacon of light.
Yeah, I got a quick glimpse of it too, but it was only a quick flash by. As I drove through, it caught me in the eyes, and then it was gone.
Yeah, but that quick flash by is enough to cause someone to get blinded if he's looking right at it the wrong way and cause an accident.
I was just excited that I got to see what you guys, what Richie talks about every morning when he was passing that.
Passing it? Just getting blinded by it. It was the morning glare report. Yeah, you picked it up from probably the Kosciuszko. I got it on the upper roadway of the dual-decker area of the LIE. I'm a quarter mile from the tunnel, so I'll speak to you guys later in the week. N2ZE, be clear. It's Monday. I'm going to go up into the air conditioning in the trailer, in the shanty. I got my Camelback with me, and it's filled with ice. I'm going to put it on and just be leaning against my Camelback full of ice all day long. I'll catch you guys later. Stay cool, stay dry, and above all, use sunscreen. Enter PPN.